Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to see everybody here bright and early this morning. So my name is Sean Butler. I'm a research associate and PhD student from Tennessee. This morning I'm going to be presenting a project that I've been working on with Drs. Tyson Raper and Mike Bushmull on making a replant decision. Now, we conduct this project in cotton, but just keep in mind as we go through this, some of the methods that we'll be talking about this morning will probably be able to apply to whatever crop you work with, in specific to dicot, and also has indeterminate and compensatory growth. So if you're not familiar with cotton, it's in the family Malvaceae. It's a perennial plant that's grown as an annual. It has both vegetative and reproductive branches. Because of this, it's able to compensate for the lack of plants neighboring it. So those vegetative branches are able to grow out, take up some of that space, and grow towards the light. The issue with this is the more vegetative growth you have, the harder it is to mature that plant out. So we want to try to keep that vegetative growth minimum while still using that ability to compensate. Typically with cotton, we're looking to try to find as uniform a stand as possible. And if we have a uniform stand, it's been shown that if we have at least three seeds per meter, three plants per meter, we shouldn't see much of a yield penalty. So generally when we go out to the field and start looking to see what our plant stand actually looks like, assess what kind of populations we're going to have, we're looking for plants that look similar to what you see on the screen here, looking for healthy stands, again, very uniform and close to that number that we actually planted. But a lot of times we might walk out and actually see plants very unhealthy, dying off from different diseases, or just might not come up at all. And so once we do it, we kind of got to figure out how many plants we have to start trying to make that decision. Do we keep the stand or replant? Us being human in nature, we could introduce bias into our assessments. We might walk out in the field and find spots that don't look as well. We might not feel as good about the stand, want to go ahead and replant it. So we're going to start looking to assess that stand from these unhealthy areas. Or maybe we don't want to get back in the field anymore. We're tired of running the planter. We're going to try to find as many good spots as we can just so we can help kind of make ourselves feel better about that stand. But the issue, again, being that we're human in nature and we can only cover so much ground, we do these counts in very small areas. Typically, we're going to do the 1-1,000 method, walk out, measure some distance based on our row spacing, count those plants, and try to figure out what kind of population we have across the field from very, very small areas. But as we continue in improving our precision agriculture and trying to manage our farms in a very site-specific format, we really need to start considering the entire area of the farms that we're managing and not these small areas. So if we walk out in the field, hop out of the truck, start running across the field, taking our counts, we could find that the field looks like it has an adequate stand. We don't need to replant. We jump back in the truck, head to lunch. Everything's good. But if we miss areas like we see on the screen here, it could account for about 10% of that farm, which in the end is going to account for about 10% of our yield or the money that's coming back at the end of the year. So this is something we really don't want to do. So we need to start kind of managing these over an entire area. Just the same, if we walked out in this poor spot of the field, saw that it didn't have an adequate stand, we might make that decision to replant. We could be going over plants or stands that we have that we really actually didn't need to replant in the first place. So with those things in mind, I'll get into the actual project. There's many objectives to this project. The one I'm going to be presenting on today is investigating the ability to use an unmanned aerial system to accurately and precisely determine varying plant populations and uniformity of cotton. So this has been running for about 2 years now. We've got two different years of data collected. We conducted this project in 2016 from one location, replicated again in 2017, adding two additional locations. And each year we used a Delta Pine 1522 variety cotton, which is early mid-maturing variety. In 2016 we had four different plant populations, and then in 17 we added an additional population just to try to help with our statistical analysis. These populations range from 10.5 seed per meter, 6¾ seed per meter, 3 seed per meter, 1.5 seed per meter, and 3/4 seed per meter. We planted these at a target plant date for each site, and 7 days after emergence, we flew over each field and evaluated the stands that we had on hand. Now, in 2016, at this same meeting, I presented on some of the early on work. We first looked to try to develop a method using just a regular RGB camera. We had Canon PowerShot as our sensor, and we were able to have some pretty good results doing plant population with that RGB sensor. However, this year we still had some discrepancies in our accuracy, and also this method was very time consuming. So we wanted to try to, again, improve that accuracy and also do it in a more efficient manner. So with this study I'm presenting today, we actually used custom multi-rotor equipped with a MicaSense Red Edge sensor. Our flights were scheduled using Mission Planner and were all automated. Again, with these images were acquired 7 days after emergence at a 35-meter altitude. We're selecting or pulling in those red, green, and blue bands, as well as near-infrared and red edge. Once pulling all these in, it was all stitched using MicaSense's proprietary software, Atlas. And then we built a program combining tools from both ArcMap and Python Wind. And that's really what I'm going to kind of talk about today is that program. Also, after we took our flights, we hand-counted each plant in each individual plot so we could ground truth the number that we actually had there. And we run all of these statistics in JUMP doing linear regression. So now to kind of get in this project, on the left side you'll see the actual script we wrote in Python. The right side would be kind of what you would see in ArcMap once we were running the code. First thing we did was wrote some script just to calculate the NDVI, or normalized difference vegetative indice. That's what we're using to actually detect our plants on the ground. Different tools to do this. This was kind of just to help speed up the process in the program by writing the script in. The next thing, once we ran that, we wanted to reclassify the raster we had in the field and reclassify it to a polygon so that we could actually do a count of all the images or shapes that we found in the field. We did this first by reclassifying the values and selecting either for plants or not anything affiliated, either residue or soil. I did this by selecting anything over 0.24 NDVI, just dropping everything below that. So anything above that we were just considering to be a plant. Then once we reclassified that to a polygon, we were able to start doing counts. We had different numbers of polygons throughout the field. Then using an update cursor function within a for loop, we were able to find the area of each polygon, and then dependent on a threshold that we set, based on the size of each polygon, we were able to start doing our counts, dividing the size of the polygons by themselves so they would count as one plant. Once we did that, we did a spatial join just to bring in the numbers of plants we had for each individual plot for our statistical purposes. After spatially joining, we wrote in some more script just to sum that so we could quickly go into the attribute table or pull a title for each plot so we could quickly see our data. And then for the results, we were extremely happy to see what we got initially. We've got an R-squared of 0.937, so it's very highly correlated between the number that we actually hand counted versus what we're trying to estimate from the air. Again, mentioning with cotton, we're looking for that greater than 3 seed per meter. So if you can see on here, we have a really good grouping at 100 plants per plot or less. So that's really what we're looking for. We want to make sure that we're very accurate at that level that where we might start to see that yield penalty. So we might be a little more inaccurate higher on in the greater populations. But again, if we have those plants there, probably not going to see a yield penalty, so it might not be too crucial in deciding whether to keep that stand or not. So one thing that we've noticed with this method is that we're probably going to have to develop some type of calibration threshold. So these, I just selected that 0.24 NDVI range. I did a git count for each one, finding the size of each polygon just to kind of divide themselves out and to count each individual polygon as one. But going forward, what we might need to do is set up a small area, find that threshold where we might start to see a yield loss in our respective crop. Again, it's that 3 seed per meter for us in cotton. And we'll look to simulate that stand in this calibration portion. So once we fly over, we can go back. We know we have ground truth in that small calibration area instead of our thresholds based on the calibration area, like you would do with other methods. But here I think, it's going to be particular to do that, and especially finding that level of accuracy or threshold so that we don't see any yield losses. So just to summarize this objective that I presented today, one thing that we noticed is we are able to detect plants in the field. So that's good not only for doing counts, but other things we want to look to do with this project, as well as other methods of assessment going on forward. We also saw that using an unmanned aerial system may have the potential to accurately and precisely determine plant population. And we also found that it's going to be crucial to develop that calibration threshold so that we can really make sure that if the plants are there in the number that we need, such that we don't see yield penalty, we're not going to have any false positive or negatives. Some of the other things that we're looking to do going forward with this project, again, we talk a lot about uniformity with cotton. We want to make sure we have a certain number of plants, but also make sure that it's uniform so that we don't delay the maturity of that crop. So we're going to look to develop a tool to assess the uniformity of the stand, look and see how distance each plant is from each other, how large skips are in the field, things of that nature. We also want to see how high we can fly these. We've been doing this at 35 meters, so not really what someone's going to typically look to do as being a consultant or a scout. So we've flown these also at 60, 90, and 120 meters. That's going to be kind of the next step, is just looking to see how high we can actually fly over, do these plant population assessments without starting to lose accuracy. Again, with this project and helping guide replant decision, the end goal is not how many plants out of the field, it's how much am I going to get with cotton, how much cotton am I getting into the basket, or how much money am I getting to bank at the end of the year. So we're going to also look and see at what levels do we start to see yield penalties from these varying plant populations. We've also simulated a replant scenario, so those days that we're flying, going back and dropping the planter in the field again at various plant populations, so we can just determine at what level, what number, and what time period after the initial plant date do we start to see yield penalties. Again, building all this so that we have a model to really help make that decision easier at the beginning of the year, trying to decide if we want to keep our stands or not. This also has other implications, especially in cotton, but other crops as well. Once we've flown over, we know how many plants we have in different areas of the field. So now we might want to look to manage those areas differently. So obviously, with fertility management could be one, we might want to look to put less nutrients in areas we don't have as many plants. Especially with cotton, we're trying to keep it as early as possible. So we want to keep that maturity quick, so we might not put as much nutrient out. And just the same with cotton, it's a perennial, so we've got to keep it maintained. We don't want to get out of hand, so maybe we want to look to add more plant growth regulator in these areas where there's less plants than others. So various things that we could do going forward now that we can determine where our populations are greater, can very easily make variable rate maps for our applications throughout the season. So with that, I'll stop talking, and hopefully you have some comments or some questions for me, and just thank you for your time and attention.
Any questions for Sean?
What was the pixel size?
So the ground sampling distance when we did RGBs was about 30 centimeters squared, and what we're looking at, it was somewhat different based on our the resolutions from the different images, but it was about, I want to say it was about a thousandth of a meter, so looking in was about a centimeter pixel size ground sampling distance, something somewhere that around there. Yes, sir. So with this method, we just used NDVI, so just using infrared as well as the red bands to calculate NDVI. Something else we could look at other indices. Maybe we might have a better, stronger correlation going forward. But yes, sir.
Have you considered using the regular RGB camera for
this counting?
Yes, sir. So that
was last year. We did the same thing, similar method with an RGB camera. We used a Canon PowerShot sensor last year, so very inexpensive. If somebody that's looking to do an entry-level setup, could they be able to do it? And we had pretty good correlations using an RGB camera. It's just the method we had originally was more time-consuming. And somebody that might have more of a scripting and programming knowledge than I do might be able to write a macro to make that quicker. But for me, it took a lot of time. It was different programs that we were using to make that work. So there definitely is a possibility, just trying to increase the efficiency. But seeing that we took RGB images with this camera as well, could very easily write a program to use in ArcGIS, different than what I've done before. So definitely something we want to continue looking at, just because the sensors with RGB is a lot more inexpensive. So it might be something someone may be more able to use going forward. Yes, sir.
What wavelength in the red region you use?
You're going to get me here. So I'm just basically looking at whatever the value is for red, and calculating NDVI, so doing near infrared minus red, and then dividing near infrared minus plus red. Yes, sir.
I'm seeing all over your graph, you show that in the final result of the regression, I see some of the kind of extreme offset, like if you're saying that field count is 400, that maybe estimate is 300.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the biggest issue in trying to get those counts when we get at those highest populations is that those plants are starting to overlap more. So leaves are crossing or they're touching. If their reflectance is making it seem like there's more than just one plant there. And the method I'm using, I'm basically not really looking at it by plant. I'm just trying to use reflectance ranges, whatever that NDVI value falls, and make that into a plant itself. So the problem is when I get this higher population, instead of having one dot or one circle, one pixel represented, there's multiple in a line connected to each other. So I have to, basically the way I have to threshold it out is try to find what pixel size I think or how many pixels are counting as one plant, divide them out. So once we get those higher populations where they're all neighboring, it starts to be cloudy. But again, that's where we want to make that calibration threshold at that level where we start to see a yield penalty. So if it's greater than that, we want to know better accuracy or have better accuracy, but if it's greater than that threshold, we're going to see yield penalty. It shouldn't be as big of a deal for us.
All right. Well, thanks, Sean. Thank you, Sean. Good job.